Hi, everybody. It's Joseph Shepherd, and we are back for another episode of Exposed. And today's guest, I am so excited to chat with. You may know her from her Miss Continental run. You may know her from winning season 15 of RuPaul's Drag Race. You may know her locally if you're in LA. Or you may just know her because she's freaking Sasha Colby.
Oh my gosh, she's here?
She's here. You seen her?
I've heard she's a mess.
You know, we're going to figure out if she's a mess.
Hi.
Hi. So good to
finally. Finally. We've been trying to work this out for a while.
For a while. But yes. You're here.
Yeah. Got me.
You have a lot of things going on. I can't wait to like open up and chat all about this. As you probably know with my show, we always start from like the beginning of time.
In the beginning. Yes.
Now, you were born and raised in Waimanalo, Hawaii.
I was. Great job. Pronunciation.
Thank you.
Points.
Did a lot of research to make sure I did it right.
Yeah, you just got to pronounce every single vowel. Even if there's three A's in a row, you got to pronounce them. You just got to sound them all out.
I want to know what it was like growing up in Hawaii, because there is a big Hawaiian culture. Mm-hmm. There's, I mean, I'm from the South and we have a whole Southern culture, but I would love to know from you, like, what was it like growing up in Hawaii?
Well, paradise. I mean, you can't, it's Hawaii. I grew up with like the mountains in my backyard and across the street was the ocean. You definitely take it for granted when you're from there and you don't really appreciate it until you move away. That was my experience. But growing up, it's kind of, you know, it's a small beach towns everywhere. Everyone knows everyone. Mm-hmm. It's actually a lot of religions, a lot of like different religion practices. So everyone, yeah, it's a really small town. So growing up was fun, was interesting. I mean, after school, you just go to the beach. It's the best.
That's nice.
Yeah.
when I was like doing my research on you, there were some things that I thought were so funny and they stuck out to me. There was an interview that you did and you mentioned being in the bathroom, taking over the bathroom, singing your songs, putting on some makeup, all being at like 3 a.m. And you said like your dad would be like knocking on that bathroom door. I want to know what you were lip syncing
to. 3 p.m.
Oh, in the afternoon.
It was
high
traffic time. This is like right, like I had to run from home because somebody's picking on me and like calling me a girl, which was great. It was affirming. And then I would run home and my sister and I would share a bathroom. Mm-hmm. And she was like 13 years older than me. So, you know, there's like makeup and bras and things. So I like had one of her bras that I would stuff. And like I had like this like negligee. Like from jump, I was a hoe.
You were ready.
I was a hoe, like straight up. Like see-through negligee and a bra. And I had like this, my mom's had like this like black lace scarf, like a flamenco scarf. So it was like all fringe line. And I would use that as like my updo or like a pony, like kind of like piratey, but like pony. And I would like put on like black eyeliner because that's what was around in the bathroom. So this was all happening in like the bathroom, which is about half the size of this carpet.
Oh, wow.
You know, so, you know, you're in a very small contained area. My dad would get home around 3 or 4, but I would lock myself in the bathroom, light a candle, put on the music because we would have the radio like, on in the bathroom, and I would be lip syncing, honey. And then like no water would be running. So then I hate to say this. I was like wasting water a little bit. Like I would run the water. So they think I'm in the shower. Then it was like, why are you taking so long in the shower? Mm-hmm. So it was like it would get out of control. Like it was – and there's just like a piece of wood like – that's blocking you and like your fate. Like if they catch me like this.
Oh, you're talking about a door.
A door, not him. Not him. No wood's blocking my fate.
So what were the songs? Like, do you have any pivotal songs that you remember?
I remember like I Wanna Dance with Somebody. Mm-hmm. That particular one was like, you know, I grew up in the MTV era. So this was when they actually played music videos on MTV. And my family would call me when Whitney Houston, I Want to Dance with Somebody came on. They would literally call me out and make me dance and perform for them. Like, you made me do drag the first time. But I remember that. I remember probably like Cold Hearted Snake. Mm-hmm. Yeah, like all the, you know, Madonna. Oh my gosh, I would do Madonna completely. I would pretend where she's like in the Peep Show,
mm-hmm.
and like she's taking off the wig. Like, what is that? Open Your Heart.
Yeah,
Open Your Heart. Yeah, I would do that. Or when we'd be at the beach, I would pretend I was Madonna with my bowl cut for Cherish and like the mermaids and rolling around. And my family's like, what are you doing?
So this, literally your career was meant for you.
Yeah, I don't know how to do anything else. Like, this is it, kids. I don't know if I'm good in like food service industry. I'm not, no. Like, I tried... I was like an apprentice at a salon when mm-hmm. I was like in high school. Then it just never stuck. I'm like, no, I want you to do my hair.
I don't want to do your hair. Another thing that you briefly touched on was religion. Yeah. I want to know from you. I know that a lot of times, like I grew up Southern Baptist.
Ooh.
Ooh, yep. Mm-hmm. And I know that it can be hard to break away from, you know, the religion that you grew up in.
Yeah.
And I know
I'm still deprogramming.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like some thoughts. And the thing is, I take from organized religion. Like, it's hard for me to grasp organized religion. Mm-hmm. I love spirituality. I love you finding your own God within you. Mm-hmm. But when it's this organized religion, that's when I have like a hard time. And I feel like because we're queer, it's easier for us to see through the matrix mm-hmm. and kind of like see the grooming that goes on yeah. with a lot of religions, you know?
How did you figure out how to like kind of come into your own?
Yeah. Well, like right now I find like I take the good that I got, you know, like the moral compass and the mm-hmm. good traits that you get from religion, and know to leave the ones that don't serve you, right? Mm-hmm. But I feel like just coping with what society or what your family or religion has taught you to believe about, like how successful you're supposed to be in yeah. life. What are the benchmarks of, you know, being a woman or a man or finding out who you love? Like, these are all things that you have to find out on yourself. And mm-hmm. I think me really breaking free was understanding like they were a lot of people in my religion or in my congregation, they would like judge. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of weird for some religions who are all about, you know, acceptance and love and we accept you all, that, you know, once you're in it, like you're just fodder for gossip and judging. Mm-hmm. And I could not hide my femininity. It was something that I even hated myself doing. And I would just get teased about it or saying that like my sin was going to send me somewhere.
Yes.
But their sin was fine.
Yes.
Mind you, they're like, can I swear on here?
Yes, you can.
So they're like fucking their like girlfriend's cousin. Okay.
Yes.
And now like the cousin is like pregnant and you're laughing at me being feminine in the church. I'm like, I can't do this. I told my family at like 14. I'm like, I'm not going. They're like hypocrites. And my family was like, we got, well, yes. You don't have to come anymore.
Yeah.
I think I just like stumped him.
Yeah. Well, I always look at it too. And I think that it's so comical because my family being in the South, my cousins would mm-hmm. all do the craziest things in the world.
Oh.
It would be like, you know, being unwed and then yeah. pregnant at 17 or yeah. whatever it was. And
having
then,
a meth lab.
Yes. And then I come out and it's like, no, no, no.
Oh, no. Not that one.
Not
yeah.
that one.
Yeah. We love all. Not you.
I want to read you a quote that you gave.
Oh God, I hate these because I never remember.
You're like, wait, did
I said that? Let's hear what I said.
So you said in a previous interview that you knew that you were trans in high school.
Okay.
You said I was around 17. I was dressing up for mm-hmm. Halloween. Mm-hmm. A bunch of my friends rented a hotel in Waikiki.
Yeah.
My best friend Lindsay, who's still my best friend to this day, fully let me be in drag. We all walked around, and I just felt like I'm a girl.
Yeah.
Those are strong words.
Yeah. I mean, I always felt like a girl. To be honest, I felt trans. I just didn't know the word. Like at 5, I was like, why am I being separated and going with the boys mm-hmm. and not with the girls? Like immediately understood like, why am I not? But I just didn't have like the vernacular or like a point of reference for mm-hmm. what a trans person was. But yeah, I remember I was just getting into the gay scene. I was like in dance during high school and they were like my gay awakening. They mm-hmm. like my friends were like, let me take you to a club, girl. Like, yeah. you know, like let's go. And I think like the first time I yeah the first time I ever did drag, it was Halloween, of course, and yeah, I remember I was Batgirl, mm-hmm. but like not the like Batman and Batgirl, like I had a bat. And I was like a shortstop, like I took a jersey and like I made it like a crop top and like a skirt. It was so 2000, like yeah. Y2K coded. I had pigtails and I had a bat because I felt like a woman, but I was also a drag queen. I was very aware when I was presenting. I'm like, let me just carry some protection.
Yeah.
Just in case
didn't you need it.
Did not need it, thank God.
So where did you hit up? Like
we went down Waikiki. So it was like all these tourists, and it was a place like if you were growing up in like the early 2000s and you were in Hawaii, you for prom or for any like winter ball or any big holiday, you were getting a room with your friends in Waikiki, getting obliterated and just walking across like up and down the streets.
I can just imagine that.
Yeah, it's fun.
Sounds like a lot of fun.
Yeah. The amount of human trafficking we probably had dodged. Can't do that now.
Yeah.
Don't do it now.
When it comes down to trans culture in Hawaii, how is that? Like, is there a support group? Is there a support system? Did you have that when you were, you know, figuring out who you were?
Yes to all of it. Yes. I'm proud to say I come from Hawaii because of the trans community, because of the queer community. Me, you know, meeting my queer friends and my ally girls from dance, and mm-hmm. they introduced me to drag queens. I finding and meeting my drag mother, Cassandra Colby. Mm-hmm. I got to meet her, and like I saw what a beautiful trans woman can be and have a life, and I was immediately like, yes. And it was because of her and the generation before me and all the generations before us. We all know each other. I just was actually home for Honolulu Pride in October, and I was blessed enough to be the grand marshal. It was such an amazing homecoming. It was the first time I was home since mm-hmm. winning. So it was a big deal, and like the parade was incredible. I got to have, you know, my daughter Carrie there, mm-hmm. got to have like some of my best friends there. And I wanted, like, I always go home and I always want a pa'ina, which is a party, and usually like a barbecue on the beach. And I call it out, and then they're like, oh, Sasha's home, you know, and all the, you know, the friends and all the, like, the gay fam, they'll mm-hmm. all come together. But I specifically was like, I want, like, the aunties, like, I want, like, the old timers, because that's the only place I really know in, like, maybe, like, Latin culture.
Mm-hmm.
But for me to, or like even like Asian culture, but I feel like Hawaii, I looked at around at this gathering we had, and I saw like generations from like the 60s, wow. 70s, 80s, now all together, and knowing that we're all going to live together and we all, you know, are going to spend our lives together. Mm-hmm. And it's really comforting. And I don't think I've seen that in a lot of places with trans family, you know, it's beautiful.
So you would say that Hawaii is probably more ahead of the game.
I think our queer community is more ahead of the game because we're more in touch with our past and our culture and where the place that we had in Hawaiian culture as mm-hmm. queer people, as trans people. I think we're very connected to that. I feel sometimes, you know, in the straight sectors of Hawaii can mm-hmm. be very scary still. You know, a lot of ignorance still goes around, but I feel that we create a lovely bubble. And in Hawaii, I mean, that's the hard part. When you get teased by someone like, oh, you know, that's mahu or that's the trans, or, you know, it's because they're not really like mean, like they're like not trying to beat you up necessarily, but mm-hmm. they're kind of calling you out because they have an auntie that's trans.
Yeah.
Or they have a sister that's trans. Like everyone knows someone who is queer in Hawaii. So that's... if you're really making fun of us, you're making fun of your family. So it's just like kind of that.
I got you.
Yeah.
Well, did you want to stay in Hawaii? Because I know that I read that you moved to Vegas for like 6 months.
Yeah, I moved to Vegas when I first moved. That was just running away from home to be trans. Like that's where I like started taking hormones and like, you know, doing the trans uh-huh. journey. But I had to like get out of Hawaii for that. Or like just kind of away from my family and do this mm-hmm. myself. But I always knew at an early age that I knew I needed to be out of Hawaii and still be connected to being Hawaiian and being from Hawaii. But there are certain Hawaiians that you kind of need to break out and share with the world the best of Hawaii mm-hmm. and what Hawaii has to offer, and then bring back what you learn and share it with your your family and your kin there, you know? And I think being a drag performer, I can do that.
Yeah.
I can utilize that.
And you have done that. You've done that so extremely well. Like, I will say, being in LA, I moved to LA in 2015. Mm-hmm. And
I was like 2014.
Yeah. Okay. You were the talk of the town already in like 2015. I went behind your back, just saying this. I went behind your back and I messaged some good Judys. I know. I messaged some good Judys because I wanted a little bit of tea.
Okay.
Miss Raya Latray.
Oh God.
Said that she found you outside of Mickey's.
Yes.
And
so,
I want to know the story.
Okay. I wasn't moving. I wasn't living here yet. It was 2012. It was the year I won Continental. Mm-hmm. And I was here a lot to like rehearse and to like meet up with my friends for like creative things. So my friend Preston was like, it was a bunch of us Hawaiians. We all went out and they're like, we're going to take you out to WeHo and we're going to walk around. And we went to like, we ended up at, I think that's when Evita was still like up at Penthouse.
Okay.
Like that era. Like, what was it? What was the other one that we used to go to all the time at Penthouse? It was a crazy one. But we were walking from like Trunks to the Abbey area and Raya comes out. And I didn't know Raya yet, but my friends was like, oh yeah, like she's like the nightclub girl. Like, yeah, it's great. But she literally was out of drag and she came out. She's like, Sasha Colby is right here. And like grabbed my hand and like walked me through everywhere. That's how I first met her. And she was actually the first queen to give me like a job here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I heard that you were the first trans go-go dancer. She got me
to go-go dance because they weren't really seeing me as like a drag performer because there really weren't any like trans performers besides like Fantasia L'Amour and like Kylie. But they worked in like San Francisco and like Long Beach. And I was kind of like stuck here in WeHo because I didn't drive. But nobody was really like trying to give the pageant trans girl like any airtime.
They were like, not my territory.
And I just won Continental too, so I was like, ooh. So I literally spent most of my first like 6 months to like a year here in LA working out of the city, like literally going to Texas or going to Florida to make enough money to live here, but I would never even work here. It was wild. But yeah, Rhea gave me my first opportunity at the Abbey. I was the first trans go-go dancer.
Iconic.
Iconic, right?
Very.
From the box, honey. That's why I know when like people are like, oh, I'm like a big fan. I'm like, were you there was on a box? Were you there the first time at Hamburger Mary's, baby? When you had that bottle, that leg?
Oh, the legs.
That's how you know Sasha Colby.
When I first moved here, I had a collection of the legs. My boyfriend was like, throw them the fuck away.
No one wants that.
Yeah, nobody wanted that.
Nobody needs a reminder
of that. Of their Sunday brunch.
Of their bottomless mimosas.
So you're dancing.
Dancing on a box.
Dancing on a box.
Dancing on a box.
What was that life like?
Oh my gosh, it seems like a whole nother time. It felt amazing. I loved it. Like, I'm a dancer. I like to freestyle. Mm-hmm. I'm a party girl. I like a good time. So it was good. And it allowed me to kind of just like get my name in like the nightlife here in LA, you know, start to be like someone. And then I started hosting after that. Mm-hmm. And people started taking notice. I think like Delta Work had given me one of my first gigs at when it was Rage.
Dream Girls.
That was like one of my first bookings here. Delta, Morgan have always just like kind of, Jules has always helped me for the 10 years I was in LA before Drag Race. And I've really allowed, I don't know, I feel like one big thing that I wanted to do was have a space where, like, if I were to not do drag, there's still more trans girls that can do drag here. And I think that's what is happening now, which I love. Yeah.
Well, you briefly mentioned Miss Continental before you came to LA.
Yeah.
Now, you had been in the Miss Continental circuit for some time.
Yes.
When was the first year that you...
First year was 2005.
Okay.
I ran four times. In 7 years. So I took some breaks in between. Mm-hmm. But it was my first time at like 21 years old. I was fifth place, which is pretty rare. And then 2006, I was 12th place. Flop year, you know, the sophomore flop era.
Yeah.
The album wasn't good. Babe, she lost, you know, all that. Then 2009 was my third time and I got first runner up. And then I won in 2012.
Your talent. How did you end up masterminding the most perfect mix, the most perfect routine, literally rewatching that to this day? The way that you fully take on a stage, the way that you command the stage, that is why I think so many people say that you are, you know, a drag queen's favorite drag queen. You literally kill it every single time. So how did that even come to be?
Oh my gosh. That talent, or most of my talent, I mean, okay, the music, first of all, that's one of the skulls, one of the dancers. He's mm-hmm. All of them are from Hawaii.
Okay.
All of them came from the same dance studio that I did, and all are like working professionals, dancing back up and doing, you know, their thing, taking time to dance with me. It was me and my best friends choreographing it. My best friend Preston Meneses and Gil Dudulau came in and did their thing. And I mean, they work with Janet Jackson, you know? So like for me to get their eye, and they also know how I move and how I, you know, express myself. And so it's really, for me, doing any pageant or even doing this tour right now, it's getting to do the creative process with my friends. Mm-hmm. That's the real high. And then being able to showcase it is just like a cherry on top, because I get to actually, not like in a megalomaniac way, but like be God in a sense where I'm like creating something with my friends, and we have like a story to show. We have a piece of like a therapy that we get to present. And that is definitely from that talent. That was a mixture of all of us coming together. And it's wild when we're like workshopping it. And we did that like the week of.
Stop it.
Yeah, because we were all in different parts of the world. I think they taught the choreography to the dancers like over Zoom, mm-hmm. or like Skype, because it wasn't even Zoom back then.
Yeah.
And then I kind of jumped in, but we only had a week to rehearse because I couldn't afford to bring them in any time earlier.
When did you realize that you had this knack for commanding the stage? Because there's a difference in performing and then fully having all eyes on you. Did you like realize that at some point? Was it Miss Continental that you saw that?
I think it was my dance instructor, Marcelo, at 24/7. There would be these times, and I got to transition actually. So I grew up pre-transition in the mm-hmm. dance studio. Then I ran to Vegas for a few months. Transitioned, came back as, you know, presenting femme and female. And they all respected me for it. They all, you know, let me blossom and incubated me and helped me with like these pageants. But I remember I would always get put in the back pre-transition for choreography. And I was like, okay, you know, like,
yeah.
But it was like, you know, I'm an extra, let's say. And then when I transitioned, there was a sense of like goddess energy quality mm-hmm. that was had like emerged. But I remember instead of being put back in the back of the line, Marcelo would be like, we're like going off on the choreography. Everyone's doing it. And then they're like, he's like, Marcelo, Sasha, just come out and just like go over here and like do your thing that you do, like freestyle. And I always thought this because I was like messing up choreography. And I was so hard on myself. And then one day I was like, I broke down to him. I was like, I just wish I like was good enough to like do the choreography like everyone else. He's like, no, you're a good dancer, but like you're actually a great actress. Like your power is like just commanding. And like when you're left to do yourself, you can like you do the best. Yeah. So he saw it in me.
And then from there, it was just bam, bam, bam.
You know, bam, bam, bam.
Miss Continental. Your talent performance, you had this iconic win. What was it like being crowned Miss Continental?
Oh my gosh. It's one of like the biggest highlights of my life. Because it was something that got me out of Hawaii. It was something that gave me a career. It was something that showed me good work ethic, when to be on time, when to be, you know, professional, how to know your worth and know your brand. They gave me all the fundamentals. And then to be crowned, it was just, you know, like you get like a star on your chart. So for me, I took it as like, I did a good job and I'm ready to conquer the next thing, which to be honest, when I moved here in 2014 was to like get on Drag Race.
Really?
Yeah.
Because I was thinking it was the total opposite.
It was just, I never felt like it was ready yet. But as soon as I saw my daughter on it, I was like, oh, they land the dolls in now. Let's go.
So you were ready.
Yeah, yeah.
If Carrie wouldn't have auditioned, would you have?
I think I might have because, like, before that, like, Gottmik was like, Sash, you have to, like, you have to audition. I was like, nah, they don't want me. And she's like, no, you, like, literally have to. And I was like, And then I helped Kylie. It was during pandemic. We got her ready when nothing was even open, guys. Like, and she had to go in and film during pandemic. So we were all rhinestoning and doing things for her. But watching her do it and then seeing her win and watching someone that looked like me and represent what I, you know, who I am, it was like, okay, this is, I could see now, but it really was Carrie getting on that I was like, she is not going to be the most famous Colby.
You were like, no.
I promise you that.
you mentioned Kylie, and I read too that you were rooming together during the pandemic.
Yeah, we were roommates. Yeah.
What was that like?
It was like moved in, a month later, shut down.
Stop.
Yeah.
And then you had to be there 24/7.
Yeah. But luckily, we're like just two big old potheads. We're fine. Yeah.
you end up getting on to Drag Race.
Yeah.
And a lot of people were expecting you. They were ready. They were ready for the domination. You had a lot of pressure on your back. Did you feel the pressure or were you just like, I'm just going to be myself? Like, how did you feel?
How do I say this? when we were announced, we already did the show, right? Mm-hmm. So I was like, thank God they all get what's about to happen. Yes. Like, it was just more momentum for what I knew, like, the outcome was going to be by the end. Like, not the finale or anything, but, like, knowing how well we did while we were filming, I was like, thank God. And I would tell my friends, I'm like, thank God I did well. Could you imagine all this hoopla and then I was, a mess? Ah, thank God that didn't happen.
Did you ever fear that was going to happen?
Yeah, like the whole time. The whole time I thought either, you know, there's just so many things that you're thinking, you're like, oh, they're just going to give it to her. Mm-hmm. And so I didn't want it to look like they just gave it to me if I did win. So I wanted to push myself harder and make sure like everything was more than, you know, more than what I would want to expect. Like I wanted to push myself, you know, with the runway looks and everything and being prepared for the challenges. So then I could let go when you're there instead of being wound up.
Well, you did a really great job. And I think that you showcased a lot of different talents. I mean, you're acting. You had your freaking...
That was funny. That was just
that was hilarious.
Random.
Did you just...
I was like, we need like something to transition these slides because it was like a... You know, like almost like a scrapbook or like a flip book. And I was thinking like I Dream of Jeannie and I was with 12-year-olds. So none of them knew what that was, right? So then I was just like, we need like a thing. And I just did that once. And Michelle was like, do that some more. Do that some more. And the funny thing was I kept on doing this when I would do it. I'd be like, and she's like, stop doing the part. She's like, we'll add that in later. But I kept on like doing that. And I didn't know it was going to land when Rue like did that cackle. I mean, that's like.
And when you get that cackle.
That's the money shot, right?
You're like, I want more of the cackle.
Mother.
Cackle that's it and put it in a box.
Yeah. Save it up for a rainy day.
And you had one lip sync throughout the season in the middle during the lip sync palooza.
Yeah.
And that was with Anitra. And that end, the end of it, girl, the booty shaking, all of that. When you hear a song, how do you end up interpreting the song? Like, how do you figure out what you want to do?
Oh, I don't really. I just make sure I know the words and then I let it go, you know?
So you're not prepping anything?
No. You know that one, My Mind?
Yeah.
That I... heard the song. I saw her do it live on YouTube and I was like, oh, this is touching. Like sat in it, you know, did my like internal thing with it. But the first time I ever performed it was that time that it was filmed and it wasn't choreographed. And that's what I love about doing that. Like, I love finding what comes out of me because of the song or because of these lyrics, and like seeing what I I'm like surprised sometimes.
My straight brother became a humongous Drag Race fan after he figured out what I did. And he loves the supporting and everything. And he saw you in San Francisco last weekend, I believe it was. And he was like, the way that she commands the stage, it's just fucking amazing. He was like, she didn't have to do all the flips and tricks and everything. Like, you commanded so well. And he was there and he like sent me videos and he was, I hear him in the background like, yeah, I love this. And it's the cutest thing, but it's honestly, so many people say that about you.
I appreciate that. I mean, I you know, when the oxygen mask comes off and comes down, like I have to live first in order for you all to live. So I'm living. Like, I'm just doing it for me. And yeah, I lose myself in it. Don't really worry too much.
Yeah. Your final lip sync with Miss Anitra.
We're just always, we're always dancing together.
Always dancing together, always ready to
dance with the one that brought you.
Your big overcoat.
Yes.
Oh my goodness.
Huge. It filled a car.
Did it really?
Yeah. It looked like like three dead bodies, like being wormed into the theater.
Speaking of wormed in, kind of like how you were snaked in.
Which the first time I put it on, I'm like, it's a bit wormy.
Yeah.
When I thought I got the snake tail, I was like, this is obnoxious. And then I got the coat.
And then you're like, oh, like, this is even more obnoxious.
Is nothing.
No, the snake was iconic because also I thought that was you singing.
Thanks.
And I was like, oh, the girls all got to sing their song. And then I heard the other girls' songs and I was like, no, they did it.
Yeah. I really wanted like someone that sounded like me.
Yeah.
Yeah. I wanted that to be important. Because, you know, you see some of them girls, like when I saw like Diabetti coming out looking amazing, like out of that, like
the butterfly thing.
And then like I'm like Broadway voice. Like, what is that? Like, you know, like the color matching is off.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. No, but that was an iconic moment. And then, like you said, that the big humongous jacket that you took off, the big coat.
Couldn't even walk in it. Could not even walk in it.
That's why you took it off right away.
Immediately. I could not
move.
You
were like, time to go.
I couldn't move. Yeah.
And then the pulling out. Where do you think of this stuff?
Oh, we were sitting on that one for like 15 years. We saw it on in a runway from this burlesque star that I'm obsessed with. Her name is Modesty Blaze. She looks like Sophia Loren, but she did it for a designer and she had like three ripaways and she did that and it was so orgasmic. I would say, I think this is, well, we were like, I think this might be the moment for that. So we did it. We had everybody rhinestoning the hell out of that purple gown for me to just take it off. Like 15 seconds.
Well, I'm telling you, your body banging. Your body's always banging. Is there a routine that you have that you do, or is it just like,
you know, I tell my body I love it because everything I else love goes away. So I just tell the fat I love it.
Hey, stand up comedy in your new tour.
See, I'm funny when you're not judging me being funny. If RuPaul's not looking right at you,
that must have been scary too.
That was scary. That was wild. Yeah.
You get the crown. You don't know that you get the crown until you watch it back with the queens and you see that. What was that moment like watching it?
I genuinely thought I was going to like get together. I was like, oh, they're just going to be like, oh, let's just have her come back for All Stars, you know?
Yeah.
Like, it was so good. Let's just have her for All Stars. I just always thought that like it wasn't going to happen. And then in your head, you're like, it might happen, right? Yeah. But as soon as right before they said it, I was like holding Anitra's hand and I was like, am I okay if Anitra wins and I don't? Like I never, like,
yeah.
And then I was like, no, you'll be fine. She's your sister. You're going to be happy. And like, I think that release was really nice right then of being like, I'm okay if I don't get it. Like, I'm going to make the best out of what I shown on the show. Mm-hmm. Cause that's what we are. We're like, this is a resume that we can present to whatever we want to do and be like, this is all the things I can do. You know? Yeah.
What did you do that night? Did you celebrate? What was your celebration? You slept?
We got the crown. We're in New York City. And MTV, Fabiani, them, they had gotten this little bar that their friend owned, and we just got the top part of the bar, and I had all of Brooklyn there. Like, all the Brooklyn queens came down to Manhattan, and we just, like, partied, and I just was, like, just sitting around my friends, you know?
Yeah.
Just, like, looking at everybody so happy, and everybody's drinking and having a good time, yeah. And then I got a chopped cheese sandwich, and I loved it. I love a chopped cheese.
What is a chopped cheese sandwich?
Oh, you never had a chopped cheese?
No.
Like, at the bodega? It's, like, like hamburger meat, like loose meat.
Okay.
And they chop the cheese in there. It's like almost like a Philly cheesesteak kind of thing.
Sounds like a hamburger helper to me.
It is like a kiss from baby Jesus covered in Velveeta, which is my baby Jesus.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's my God.
Sasha's God is a sandwich.
Sasha's God is a chopped cheese. Yeah. Yes. I stan. And all the Brooklyn kids know this.
Yeah. So it has been a year, basically, yeah. Since your win.
Yeah.
And when you had won Miss Continental in an interview, you said that the biggest thing that you can do is the year after your win.
Yeah.
How do you think you did the year after your win?
Well, you know, the pageant girls, like, you apply for the job. Mm-hmm. And then when you win, you have the job.
Yeah.
So now you have to work. And that's the real tea. So, I mean, as a pageant girl, I wanted this reign to be good. Mm-hmm. I wanted to set myself up so when I'm a has-been, when I give this girl the next crown, you know, the next girl the crown, I can, like, fall back on some things that I've set up this year. Mm-hmm. That's what we were really focused on. The long game.
And the long game came around. Ponytails.
Ponytail.
A tour coming up.
Yes.
Before we get into the tour, I have some fan questions. Ooh. Are you ready?
Let's do it.
What is the difference between drag queen Sasha and home Sasha? Does being in drag bring out more of your fierce energy?
Yeah, it brings it all out, actually. Drag queen Sasha is like the fierce mother goddess thing, powerful woman. Sasha at home is smoking weed, eating ice cream, watching some boring ass documentary mm-hmm. about something that nobody else cares about in the world. Like, I was just watching about tiki bars. And like,
okay, but that sounds Hawaiian. Fun.
It's not Hawaiian. It's from this guy like named Don from Hollywood. But yeah, I just love facts. Like, I would be great at Jeopardy.
Well, that's what Lolita said. She said that you are a history buff.
I am. I really am. I don't think anybody would guess that, but I
wouldn't have guessed it at all.
Obsessed with like ancient civilizations of all like of every like yeah.
I'm Do you believe it. There's aliens?
Absolutely.
Do you think yeah. that they are living here amongst us?
Hello. Hello.
Do you think that they made the pyramids?
Yeah, I think there's definitely. Can I tell you a story?
Yeah, tell me a story.
Do you want to go on a tangent?
Let's go.
Let's go. Okay, so Native Hawaiians, we believe that we are in. There's like a ancient myth, like how Atlantis in mm-hmm. the Atlantic Ocean, there was a place called Lemuria in Hawaii that connected Hawaii, Tahiti, and Samoa. It's actually all one big landmass. And then the Ice Age happened and water came mm-hmm. up. And so now we have like our archipelago. But they say that when it was Lemuria, the aliens that are called the Mu's, came down to Earth to their planet is mostly water and
okay.
they're much more advanced than us. So they actually put in the knowledge that we needed into our water. So it's like Earth is like, the water is like our blood, right?
Yes.
And it serves us all. But the knowledge was literally in the water. And I think, and then we believe that we are ancestors of the Mu, or our ancestors are Mu, we are descendants. And that's how we knew how to navigate and by the stars. And before we even had telescopes, we knew exactly where everything was and how to chart and map. So yeah, I definitely think there's aliens that have helped us throughout.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I always think about like the astrology aspect of everything.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I always go, somebody was just randomly like, all right, these stars are going to be this way and this moon's going here. So yeah. that means you're going to be a bitch today.
Okay. So imagine you did not have TV.
Yeah.
Imagine you did not have the Housewives. You were bored.
Yeah.
And it was pretty dark most of the time. So you're looking at these stars and you start to really know exactly what they're doing every single moment.
That's true.
Yeah. Like that's all you could do is just sit and look at the stars.
Imagine if we still didn't have TV. What else we would come up with?
No. Yeah. 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 Maybe world peace.
Another fan question. You spoke about being at home, Sasha, being stoned. Mm-hmm. Do you remember your first experience with weed?
Yes. I think it was like 14 or 15. I was with my friend Janelle Layfield, who's still a good friend of mine. She's a mom now. Get ready for this, Janelle's kids. So we... she would pick me up from home and we would go cruising. That was the thing when you're in Hawaii. Like you go cruising to just drive around.
Oh,
and
not the other type.
No, not our colloquials. No. Oh, it's so funny because like they still use that in Hawaii and I'm like, oh, for real? So we would just go driving around. It was me and her in the back seat and our friends Farron and McDonald. They were dating and they had the weed and we were driving up the Pali Highway, which is like this crazy like tunnel, and there's definitely cops there and I don't know why they pulled us over. I think we were driving too slow.
Mm-hmm.
So they pulled us over and they could smell the weed and we were children, we, you know, like toddlers driving, and the guy was like, the officer was like, if you just throw it out and then you can go. And so we threw it out and then we got let go, but then we drove back around to try and find it. And the cop was like, I just told you to leave. That was my first weed experience. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. I like a good pre-roll on the go. Infused, if you're listening out there. Infused indica pre-rolls, please.
Say that straight to camera and then do a little wink and then we'll...
For just one pre-roll a month, you too can sponsor your very own drag queen.
Oh, I can't with you. You literally are so much fun. The other questions that I have from fans, when you finally get a week off.
Okay.
Where and how are you spending your time?
I think I'm going to get a week off after the last show of my tour. It'll be Hawaii. And I will spend a week there on the beach with the aunties. I can't wait.
Do they get excited when you come back?
Yeah, he's like, oh my God. Niecy's home. What are we going to eat? What does she want? And I'll like call out what I want. Like, oh, I need this from this place. I need this like chop suey. I need this like, yeah. All these random like goodies.
It's a big homecoming.
Yeah, it was fun. I actually brought one of my best friend, James, who does my glam. He was with me this last time. It's magical. Magical. Like it changes you.
Yeah.
It changes you, that place. Yeah.
What is the best thing about having a glam person now?
Having a glam person. Knowing when I look at myself in the morning that I don't have to be responsible to make that look presentable for you.
Mm.
That's one of the best things.
So you've had this experience after this year after you have been going around touring the whole basic world. Mm-hmm. You've been doing everything under the moon. Mm-hmm. You have this tour coming up, your strip tour. I want to know, what can we expect from this? What is coming down the pipeline? It starts February 29th?
Yes. First date is the last date of this month, February 29th. We go to 22 cities.
Okay.
We end on 420.
Oh.
That was not like intentional, but the universe. Okay. I'm really excited. Stripped is, for me, after doing like this show and, you know, doing the rain and being in like, I guess what you would say, like a high gloss, high glamour, high production world. I really wanted to strip it down and remember why I do drag and why I perform. And, you know, a play on words. I'll definitely be like showing some skin. It is 18 and over.
Mm-hmm.
And dealing with, it's just telling stories of my life that could be universal and really showing all different sides of me. And it's me and my friends for the past 20 years, 25 years working together. My whole creative team, the choreographer, we're all from the same dance studio. We just get it. We speak the same creative language. Mm-hmm. And I'm in the middle of that creative process we were talking
That's
about.
Awesome.
Every day to like this month, you know, we go into a dance studio and then we get to create something that is just wonderful to share. And I can't wait to share it with everyone.
I can't wait to see it.
Yeah.
Are we talking like Miss Continental mixed with some Drag Race, mixed with some like, you said story. So is it going to be like a storytelling type?
Yeah. I mean, I'm always a storyteller, I think, at heart. And I tell stories that are meaningful to me that can be abstract, but mm-hmm. you can always maybe look at it and make your own conclusion or take what you need from it. Definitely giving the kids what they want, you know, mm-hmm. the Drag Race and the fun Continental-esque moments. But I think it's a really well-rounded show of like acting, old school drag, different styles of dance. I think it'll be a lot of different sides that people didn't know about me.
That's going to be awesome.
Yeah. And I mean, you've all seen me butt-ass naked on national television.
That is true.
What else am I hiding? Well,
the amount of confidence to be able to be butt-ass naked on television.
Oh, the amount of weed.
Wait, you
don't care.
Plug it again.
For just one pre-roll a month, you too can help your very own drag queen. Queen.
So what do you say is the next venture that you want to do? Like, what do you want the next part in your amazing career so far to be? Like,
wrong answers only.
Wrong answers only.
No kidding. Wow. Well, that's the wild thing. I get to wake up and not know what I'm going to mm-hmm. do that day and look at my calendar and be genuinely shocked at some of the things that I get to be blessed with doing.
Yeah.
The opportunities that winning, being on the show in general, has afforded me and so many Drag Race alumni is it allows you to literally make your own dreams. So if I say I want to make a ponytail line, then we make a ponytail line. Mm-hmm. If I want to do like my own one-woman show, let's do it. If I want to act, and then we're going to find a way. And mm-hmm. I really love storytelling on, you know, a drag level and like in my live shows. But I think acting has always been something that I've loved doing mm-hmm. and always pursuing that. Want to make more music.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just want to keep on creating and telling stories in every kind of medium I can.
What would you say is the biggest piece of advice you've been given from somebody else that you have applied to your life?
Biggest advice, I think, was from my drag mom, was when I was first started doing drag shows. I'm obviously still the same person that I am, like, you know, big, cunty, you know, diva. And it could be intimidating or overwhelming. And I remember when I came off stage and was getting like very good feedback from people and applause. And my drag mother was like, you know, you remember where you came from.
Mm-hmm.
You remember who you are. You remember, you know, you're Hawaiian, you know, show respect and be humble always. So that always sticks in me. And I feel like people can say, oh, she's an amazing queen. She's so fierce and the hair whips and the ponies and whatever and mother. But when I hear from someone like, oh, I did a show with her, she's really, really nice. Or like, oh my gosh, we love having her. Like, she's so fun in the back. Like, I think that's the thing that gives you career longevity in drag mm. and just makes your life easier.
Would you say that when people call you mother, do you feel like there's an expectation that you have to be a certain way, or are you just...
I think they all have Stacey mom complex. Oh. I know how to really kill a moment, don't I?
No, you make them great. You make them great. See, there's the comedy coming in. Is there going to be comedy in the tour?
You will laugh.
Okay.
You will cry.
Crying because the comedy is great or bad?
You will.
What would you say is the biggest misconception of Sasha Colby?
No, they're pretty much right. All the rumors are true. No, biggest misconception. I don't know. What are they saying about me? What are these all saying? I don't know. I think a lot of people just think I'm intimidating or like mm-hmm. a bitch, which I'm I am. But I'm also funny and nice and a goober.
How are you a bitch?
Ask Lolita.
Hey, let me call her up right now and figure this out.
Call her. Phone a friend.
No, I think...
Wait, I have to phone a friend.
Does she not count as a friend?
No, she's a dependent, I believe they call that, right?
She writes you off on taxes.
My little beneficiary.
When you got the money, assuming that you did, what was the purchase that you made for yourself?
I mean, I upgraded like my home, mm-hmm. like my apartment, got a bigger place to handle all the drag, and yeah, really focused on having a really nicely grown up apartment for once.
Was it not grown up before?
I was waiting for the grown ups to come in for years. I've been like, where are they? Who's gonna tell me where to put this? No, I'm actually like a crazy neat freak, so it's and I've always like been with roommates or with mm-hmm. someone, so it's been nice to like kind of make my own goddess nest.
Yeah,
yeah.
So what you call it, your goddess nest?
It's what they call it on.
I gotta get off of here. Yeah! Good thing we only have two more questions left before oh she gosh. Reveals everything.
What else? No. Okay.
When you log on to Sniffies, what is your name?
It's so warm.
Oh my gosh. That website is the craziest thing in the world.
Oh my gosh. If you want a good time, friends of mine on tour, on the Christmas Queens tour, one of our friends, we would do this thing at night. And we would go on Sniffies in the town that we're in mm-hmm. and find us some Sniffies soliloquies. You know, when they post on the board, it's wild. You hear me? I can't even say it here. It is wild. I will give you a piece.
Yeah.
I'll give you a snippet off camera.
Yeah.
And you come back on here and you'll be like, it's wild.
It's like the new, what was the old thing? Chatterbait or whatever? Like where you... Omegle. Yeah. Like, it's kind of like the new version of that. It's a little crazier.
Oh my gosh. You don't know what you're answering.
No.
No.
Or exiting.
Oof. Is this how we're ending this?
Well, Sasha, my last question for you is what is a piece of advice that you can give for those that are up and coming in the LGBT community?
Well, if you're like new to the community, if you're just figuring out yourself mm-hmm. kind of thing, right? Not like necessarily drag, yeah. but like, I mean, if you're just figuring it out, you're probably, you know, younger at home, probably in a space where it's not ideal for you to be yourself. Mm-hmm. And I think that's like the great thing about technology. If you're in like a family environment or a town or a place where it's just like there's no other queer people to find, mm-hmm. You know, online and finding like your tribe there and finding people is helpful for you to not feel alone until you're able to like move to, you know, a more progressive area. You can find the people that like really accept you and you find who you are. So the fact that you know already that you're queer is like half the battle.
Yeah.
You know, you just stay strong in it.
Stay strong in it. Mm-hmm. Great piece of advice. What would you give for
the biggest thing to help you?
The older generation. My dad just came out of the closet.
No way.
62.
Work.
Right?
Ah, that's amazing. Wow. I would like some advice.
Yeah, actually. Right?
Dad, 62. Can you help me with a 401k? what do straight people know? Say straight things. I don't know. Baseball.
Baseball. This has been the most fun interview I think I've done in quite some time. This is the amazing Sasha Colby. Sasha, where can everybody find you on the socials and plug this tour?
You can find me in these streets.
Yes.
Okay.
On Sniffies.
If you find me, you got me. You can find me on all the social media platforms, Sasha Colby. You can find my ponytail at salonextensions.com. We'll actually be releasing a new ponytail coming Valentine's Day. My Valentine's Day gift to you all is a new length. So we got a little longer length for the divas who need a little length. And we got two new colors coming in on top of our already established 10. And yeah, we're just going to keep on growing our ponytail line and our hairline and keep on looking out. As far as what I am going to be doing this upcoming year, starting the end of the month, February 29th till April 20th, April 19th, technically, I will be doing my stripped tour. You can find tickets at Ticketmaster.com. You found it on another one.
Well, because the Ticketmaster was sold out.
Damn. Yeah. You hear that, y'all? So go and get your tickets right now. Tickets are going great. It's going to be a great show. Yeah, I'm around. Call me.
Call her. Bring her some goodies, you know, when you go and see her. The meet and greet.
For one pre-roll.
Well, I'm Joseph Shepherd. This is the beautiful Sasha Colby. Until next time, this has been Exposed.